There's a joke among preachers, and it goes like this. An evangelist was preaching to the congregation to flee from the wrath to come. "I warn you," he thundered, "there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." At that point, a woman, elderly woman, stood up and said, "Sir, I have no teeth." And he said, "Madam, teeth will be provided." I know, ha ha ha, oh. I thought I'd begin with some humor, since the gospel text is anything but funny. Judgment is not funny. Evaluation and judgment, it's what's always waiting for us when we finish something. Think of the academic final exams of your past, or perhaps your present, and the fretful questions leading up to the exam. Did I study the right material? Do I know the material well enough? Will I be able to remember and think when I get there? As an art student, portfolio reviews could be anxiety-provoking for me. Are all the assignments well done? Did I demonstrate improvement, understanding, creativity, and diligence? How will I measure up to the standards? Final academic exams and portfolio reviews are one thing, and God's final judgment upon our lives, that's different. So here's the good news, and it is good news because, well, of course, it's the gospel. But first, Jesus shares with us God's expectation, God's rubric for what makes one's life a success or a failure. He shares that information with us so that we do not need to wonder or make it up on our own, never knowing if we have it quite right. He also shares it so that we are not thrown off the path by the many other competing ideas swirling around us about what makes for a successful life. Listen closely to the story today, the gospel story. The sheep and the goats were both clueless about how God experienced their actions. God doesn't want us to be lost or clueless. So Jesus shares this good news with us. And second, this rubric that Jesus shares with us, it's not hard to understand. Anyone can do it, and it will keep us all busy for the rest of our lives. And the rubric boils down to the golden rule. Remember hearing that a long time ago? We don't hear about it much lately. We need to bring it back. Let us be talking about this in our lives out in the world. The golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Think about it. If you were hungry, what would you need? Well, food. If you were thirsty, what would you need? A drink. If you were a stranger and didn't know local customs or your way around and were vulnerable, what would you need? Someone to welcome you. And if you were naked, what would you need? Well, clothing, of course. And if you were sick, you'd need someone to take care of you, bring you saltines and Gatorade, perhaps take you to the doctor's office. And if you were in prison, what would you need? You would need someone to visit you, to give you hope. Today's gospel offers an illustration of the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Further, what we discover in the end at the judgment is that we have done it to Christ himself. And note, these are all bodily, physical needs that Jesus articulates. In fact, Jesus experienced all of these conditions during his earthly life. So you could say he knows what he's talking about. He is saying in Matthew 25 that thoughts and prayers are not enough by themselves. Action is required to deliver on kindness and mercy in tangible ways. The world is so big and the needs so overwhelming. I don't know about you, but I often lift my eyes to the heavens and say, "The ocean is so big and my boat is so small. Help me, God." And this is when I think about what our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, says. You can't do everything, but you can do something. The beacon is the cathedral's response to those who are homeless. The beacon is our faith community's response to Matthew 25. And we support the beacon with our resources of time, talent, and treasure. And I wonder, in your own lives, what other ways are you responding to the good news that Jesus shares with us today? What kindnesses and compassion are you extending to others or receiving from others? Immediately after Hurricane Harvey, my husband and I were able to get out of our house and volunteer at the George R. Brown. There was one man in particular, an elderly gentleman, whose name was Daryl, I remember. He was alone, disoriented, and appeared to have memory issues. I came alongside of him, helped him set up his cot, walked with him to get linens, food, locate the men's restroom, rehearsing the landmarks all along the way, back and forth. Red doors, Coke machine, letter C, to help him find his way so that he wouldn't get lost. When I said goodbye to Daryl, I worried about what would become of him, and I prayed for him. In the midst of my prayer, I was reminded, there are others here, others who are coming. Others who live by the golden rule, who live by Matthew 25, and they too will come alongside of Daryl and so many others here. I don't have to do everything. I just have to do something. Because when we all do something, when we all step forward in faith to address the suffering that is before us, we are Christ's body, healing a hurting world in meaningful and tangible ways. You don't have to do everything. Just do something. And as followers of Jesus, this becomes a way of life. It becomes a habit. This is what we do. This is how we live. We live by the golden rule. We're not perfect. But by and through God's grace, we are enough. And God sends us out into the world and into the lives of others. And then one day, it will be finished. And your life and my life will be evaluated and judged. And you will say, "Lord, but when was it that I did all of these acts of kindness and mercy that you said that I did? I was only doing what you taught me to do, to live by the golden rule. I didn't do anything perfectly, but by your grace, I did something." Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.